It's Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
Hey, this is Dave from Superhero Speak, and you're listening to the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
Indeed! Show 262. Episode 262. Title of the show, Zombieland, Double Tap. Like that sound effect. Say it again, Double Tap. Indeed. And it's been the Patrol time! Spooky, wookie, 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 wookie. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley, bringing you this spooky, ookie, bookie, continuing the month of October show. With me, again, solo show, nobody. Not going to make a big deal about it. But I still have a good show for you. Anyway, man. So, this week, man, we have quite a bit to talk about, man. We have a new trailer from Vin Diesel, Bloodshot. We're going to talk about that. We got some comments from a bunch of old directors who've been talking some stuff about, you know, people's favorite properties. And, you know, we normally don't address stuff like that, but I'm by myself. I'm going to do what I want to do because it's my prerogative. So I'm going to not respond, but just make some comments about some of that stuff. Also, man, where is everybody? I can't even ooze and goos and snooze and whatever about the final trailer for Star Wars, which comes out in just a couple months. Final trailer for Star Wars was dropped this week, and god dang, damn, I wish we're gonna talk about that. And after that, man, you know, that's what, three stories, and then we're gonna hit Zombieland Double Tap. I love the sound effect. Double Tap. So anyway, that's gonna be the show. We're gonna do review discussion of Zombieland Double Tap. We're not gonna leave you hanging. Last time I did a solo show, I did the entire show, man. I did like a damn, almost did a damn near game. I did it, the comic and everything, but I'm not gonna do that this time. So, you know, the crew is missing. I hate both of you, and even the third one there. You know, I'm hunting for you, and when I find you, you will be doomed. Anyway, so, you know, saying all that, let's get it on. All right, man, we're back. And Vin Diesel, we've been hearing, you know, they've been setting up this Bloodshot thing for a long time. And I know it's a comic property. I never read it, but Bloodshot. I don't know if people were excited or the studio involved has just been putting so much money into this thing that they've been just trying to generate hype for it. You know, there's been talk of Vin Diesel being in this superhero property, that superhero property. You know, he was Groot, but pretty underwhelming because all he did is walk around and say, "I am Groot," different ways, you know, with voice modulators on. We thought for a moment, he would have been a great, not Black Adam. What was the guy who doesn't talk? Black Bolt for the, Marvel's TV show. They turned it into a TV show, and instead of just, you know, doing something sweet with Black Bolt, they never did that. And so they came out with that lame TV show, even though the actor they had playing Black Bolt is a cool actor and stuff. But, you know, anyway, so here's Bloodshot, man. Now, I am uninitiated. I have to tell you, I've never heard of this crap. I've been seeing it. I don't like the image that the comic had, you know, kind of looked like a bootleg Colossus every time you saw it, you know. And you know, I could care less, you know, Columbia, Sony Pictures. Then I watched this trailer, and, you know, I have to tell y'all, they won me over with this trailer, man. I mean, I would love to know what people think. I mean, people either like Vin Diesel or they don't, you know. Then I see Guy Pearce. Haven't seen him since Iron Man 2. And I'm sure he's been doing stuff. Vin Diesel makes the perfect soldier, even though he never uses his real voice in none of his movies because he talk all deep and stuff. You know, and his, if you listen to interviews, he talks really high, and so it's kind of weird. But this, I hadn't, for uninitiated. Now, you comic fans, you might be freaking out about this thing and saying, what the F? But for me, I don't know anything about this. And, you know, the cinematography looks top grade. I love seeing Guy Pearce. I love seeing some of the Vin Diesel and Miss Gonzalez, who is just dope as hell. You know, he just put her in anything. Soldier, killed, had a happy life. And then, you know, he's brought back. And then he's a killing machine. He can't be hurt. He's Wolverine made through technology, but with us, you know. And suddenly, I'm going to go kill the man. I'm going off books. You know, I'm going to go kill the man who murdered me and my wife. And he goes and he murders the people. And then suddenly, they throw the twist in, because it's always a twist. You know, it's a program. You know, they're manipulating them. They just got him killing people. And they feel like he needs motivation instead of saying, look, we brought you back from the dead or whatever. However we got you here, but you're invincible. Not for me, children. That'll be enough of me. Hey, dude, you're invincible. Go on some missions and murder some people. Where do I sign up? You know, plus I still look good, you know. But they felt the need to manipulate him and stuff. And so there's a bunch of beautiful people in here. There's some fantastic shots with him taking shots that should have just murdered him cold. But it didn't happen, you know. So I'm highly interested in this just from the trailer, man. You know, the characters look super interesting. And not just Vin Diesel and Guy Pearce, but even, you know, some of the other actors that they have in this property. I'm like, wow, they look like they're doing an excellent job with this thing. Comic fans might be different, you know, because we know book fans and movie fans. Every book fan loses their goddamn mind over every, you know, thing turned into a movie. But it looks good to me, man. You know, without knowing anything about the comic property, because as you know, who cares? Unless it was like Superman or something, then I care. Like, but it looks awesome. The special effects looks awesome. I now want to see this, and I didn't give a shit about this. Sometimes you gotta wait for the trailer, y'all. You know, you see stuff and you like, you gotta wait for that trailer, and then boom, sometimes you see a trailer and you're like, holy shit. Now I'm in. Sometimes you see the trailer and you're like, this still looks like shit. I'm out. So this I want to see. I'm not sure when it comes out. We've been hearing about it for years and years and years, and then we heard it was shooting, and I could care less. I was like, who cares? But looks good. Good job, Vin Diesel. You know, you got out of that damn car. And you ride and die and all that shit, you know, and it's all about family, you know, and all that stuff. You're taking steps out of there. And he's tried before. Some of the things, some of the movies he's been in, I really liked, and nobody ever said a word about him. And then, you know, he's been in stuff that's been terrible. But he doesn't do that much. He's kind of choosy. You know, I bought that movie. Yeah, what was it? When he played Xander Cage, whatever. And the first one was stupid as hell, but it had charm, so everybody liked it. Then they came out with a second one, and I bought it on. I never went to the movies to see it. I bought it on Apple TV. It's been sitting there for like 2-3 years. I've never watched it. You know, it just never. And we didn't do it on the show, so whatever. So let's move on here. So let's talk about, you know, some comments, man. Let's start a little controversy here, just you and I. If you don't know the story, Martin Scorsese a few weeks ago, probably about 2 weeks ago now, made some comments saying that, you know, he thought that the Marvel movies were not cinema and didn't really care for them. Dude, you are completely entitled to your opinion. No problem. But then his homies, and if you know anything about this group, Martin Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, and some other directors, I believe predominantly Jewish, back in the days that emerged in the 70s, they were all friends, man, you know, and they critiqued each other's work, things like that.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Apocalypse Now, Godfather stuff and all that, you know, came out and said, oh, they're despicable. And, you know, the Martin Scorsese stuff, people kind of like half-ass commented on, and you know, some people just left it alone because they look at it like, well, sometimes these old dudes, you know, they just turn into shitty old men, you know, and just gotta, like, you know, shit on other people's stuff, you know, and you kind of expect that from some shitty old men, you know, and you y'all see the direction I'm going with this thing, but, and it's like, when it happened, I was like, that's literally the sound I made. I said, I'm like, fellas, first of all, y'all old, okay? You're old, you're in your 70s. Now, I'm going to preface that, I'm going to follow that up by saying, you got to understand, sometimes, even if you feel a certain way, you're not the person to make comments on certain things, because once you're like late 60s, 70s, and if you throw out a bunch of shit that makes you just look like a curmudgeon, you know, you just look like, oh, that's that shitty old man complaining, because we expect, what, old men to be kindly or just shitty old dudes, you know, that hates everything. And so maybe you should have got somebody young and popular, you know, to say your thoughts. But I guess they feel like my opinion is my opinion. And those cats are entitled to their opinion. You know, calling Marvel not cinema was like, what the... anything that's in the cinema is cinema. Go to hell, you know. I mean, when the stuff that you guys, you know, were producing at one point in time was considered trash. Gangster movies, westerns, things like that. War movies, you know, like, what the hell is this bullshit? That's, you know, how people used to react. And so it's like, you know, they never been a friend, either one of those directors never been a friend of Star Wars or science fiction or anything like that. And it's just like, in my opinion, just the audacity of the intolerance. Now, I'm not a director. I've never been in that seat, but I haven't gotten that, you know, how many people have actually given that opportunity? These cats were, you know, young, kicking-ass directors in the 70s, 80s, pretty much. And they got movies, you know, now. But if you think about it, man, first of all, you're considered geniuses, right? You know, they're geniuses. They got these genius movies. But when you guys in your heyday, the playing field wasn't even level. So let's keep it real, okay? There was no African-Americans, no Latinos, no women. You know, but you guys got these deals and you made the movies you want to do. People like them, but shit, come on. I mean, it might have been some people that were not allowed in the game that came in and had your movies looking like shit. I don't give a damn what you made them about. Vietnam, gangsters, whatever. But in my opinion, I'm an artiste myself. I'm creative. And if you guys haven't noticed anything about Fans on Patrol, is that we try so hard not to be snobs of somebody's creative work. Because, you know, that beauty, as they always say, is in the eye of the beholder. And so I try my best not to be like, oh, this shit is terrible. You know, I just do, you know. But Marvel has taken a fan like me, who has been a long-term fan since he was a kid, and made me happy, literally projecting stories that I'm familiar with, that a lot of the audience is not familiar with, because they're not as old as I am and have read the comics. Because most of these stories are pretty old that we've seen on a cinema and the movies or whatever you want to call it, and it brings its beauty, you know, It's life. It's sheer beauty into people's lives. And if people want to watch superheroes and that's their beauty, then who the F are you, old dude, to sit around and just shit on a stuff like that? Well, you know, it's not for you. Now, I'll go even a step further. I hate artsy fartsy shit. Oh, my God. Tifflebot likes the archy-fartsy stuff. You know, Oscar-caliber movies, go to hell with that. I think it's a waste of time, space, and everything. Every once in a while, you might get a Lord of the Rings or a Gladiator or something that's smooth, you know, and you're like, oh, and people hate it. That crowd hates it. But that's my opinion. That's what I like. And I understand that there's enough room on this planet that it's so many people who likes artsy-fartsy stuff. I'm not going to sit around and talk about, oh, that's despicable. You know, dude, you're looking like you're 1,000 years old and you need to go somewhere and sit down by talking like that. You know, and I'm not his rival or anything like that, but I just think it's kind of crazy that this happened. And it might have just been, they might have been coming out of a party and somebody asked them and, you know, they've been running with the story. But James Gunn and Natalie Portman, of all people, you know, responded to them and some other people and did quite a good job saying, you know, Westerns, you know, were considered despicable gangster movies, war movies, but you guys made your bones on these damn things. And, you know, but now you want to criticize our work? It's really disrespectful, both of them. You know, you guys made yourself look like a bunch of shitty old men. Shitty old men, both of you. Shitty old men, especially Francis Ford Coppola. Shitty old man, you know? Nobody wants to be, you know, everybody avoids a shitty old man. Get off my grass. Get off my grass, jackasses. I mean, that's what you sound like. Jeez. So anyway, let's move on. I don't spend too much time on it. Wow, I didn't talk about this, you know, that I was going to talk about it. But it looks like it might be some hope for Charlie Cox and Jessica Jones, man, in the new Marvel Universe, you know. Please, please, please figure it out and at least bring Daredevil. I don't care about Jessica Jones all that much. I would rather see Luke Cage. But please bring Charlie Cox as Daredevil. Damn, he was good. Charlie Cox. So, also, speaking of changes, what is it? Cloak and Dagger has been canceled. Canceled on Freeform after 2 seasons. First of all, you put it on Freeform. Second of all, it's totally not recognizable to the original property. I mean, did the dude even have a cloak or did he put on a hood? I never saw one show, but I know when looking at the trailers, looking at the TV spots, it was like, this ain't the shit I like. Where is the skin tight outfit and the knives? And how come she's so young? And where is Cloak, who's one of the most powerful superheroes? You know, where's his shit? Where's it? You know, jackasses. Anyway, now it's time to cue that dope ass Star Wars music. Indeed. Oh God, you listen to this show, you know Star Wars can do wrong with me. But I love Star Wars. It would always get a second chance with me. Third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, three, you know, whatever. And so I'm not a real trailer Star Wars watcher. Y'all know me, I'll go dark in a minute. But they came out with the last trailer. And let's talk about this thing, man. Because I'm impressed. And I'm going to tell you, first of all, I'm going to start this off and then we'll move on. I'll say that I'm so impressed that I know there's spoilers out and leaks and all this stuff. And, you know, y'all will never hear that crap from me. But I'm so impressed that I have seen 3 trailers now for Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. And I know nothing about this movie. I have no clue what this movie is about, considering the trailers. I mean, now don't get me wrong. We hear the Emperor, you know, in 2 of the trailers, maybe 3 of the trailers. We see Rey and Kylo Ren about to fight. We see, you know, cool starships. We see the Emperor's seat. We see some goofy image with the Emperor's seat that was reminiscent of some Ralph McQuarrie work. We see the ghosts and a bunch of starships flying, you know, when they only had like 2 ships left at the end of the movie. And so, we can see that, you know, we see 3PO and we see him looking like he's about to do a swan song and dive off a cliff and die, you know, pretty heartwarming. We see all that, but what gets me is that we know it's Star Wars, but I don't know what the hell this movie is about, you know, and I like that shit. I dig that shit, man, you know? Make it be a mystery to me. Don't show me nothing and I'll be like, oh yeah, we saw that in the trailer and this is what's gonna happen. I don't know anything about what this thing is about. And I'm just sitting here hoping my best that I just want some of the future Star Wars universe to be about some of these characters. I really want to see more Rey movies. I really want to see Finn in some more movies. I really want to see more BB-8. Poe Dameron is cool, but, you know, not that important of a character. You hear Skywalker's voice, you know, if he's smart, he'll collect the check, being a Force ghost, and what's his, James Earl Jones forever, who's not a Force ghost, but, you know, he's doing a move, you know, he could do a Darth Vader sound, no problem, you know. We see Rey training. Y'all, I'm excited Damn, it looks so good, y'all. Y'all, I would love what people got to say about this. I mean, I just want to have a joygasm when I see this, man. But they're setting it up so hard. Let me focus this conference, you know, this thing. Oh, Lando Calrissian, holy shit, you know. Rose, fine ass. Anyway, they're setting this up to be such a swan song. They've been saying for the movie, it's over, this is it. You know, I don't believe it. You have some, I mean, Daisy really ain't doing that much. You know, the guy that plays Kylo Ren is probably doing more than all of them. You know, the guy that's playing Finn, Boyega, he's been doing a little bit here and there, but, you know, I guess the person who's benefited the most of this has been the guy that's played Kylo Ren. You know, he's got a lot of nice shit going on. You know, he's an Oscar-worthy actor. Daisy Ridley has been phenomenal in Star Wars. You know, her emotional range. I'm surprised she's not doing more. I could not imagine her being typecast, but that's the difference between men and women in Hollywood and in movies. You know, it's very limited for the ladies. You know, please don't kill off Chewbacca. Y'all got a nice young actor who's tall that looks healthy. Let him do his thing. Give me more and more Chewbacca. But this looks great. I love Star Wars. It's like a friend. And guess what? It comes out this Christmas. My birthday is on December 19th. I'm going to go see something. I know something sweet comes out on December 19th. I plan on being in the movies on December 19th. It might even be Star Wars because it's Christmas. Damn. But I hate to be in the movies all crowded, ass to ass, and got my legs closed or somebody's next to me and all kind of shit. So anyway, man, beautiful. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Let me know. So where we at? Social media time. For everything Fans on Patrol, please go to fansonpatrol.com. I'm going to say it again. Go to fansonpatrol.com. That's our hub. It has everything. We just about to post another big article from Big Ben Ken talking about some of the Scorsese comments and things like that. Go over there and check that out. We have our links to everything. We still got a link to our Twitch page, which is still live, but we ain't never Twitch on it. Anyway, you know, man, Beat 'em Down from Colt 45 should probably, like, we play all the time, like, shit. We should probably, like, Twitch that stuff, but we're not going to entertain you. We're not pulling out no boobs and sitting there and try to get you to watch us do stuff. So, if you want to listen to us, you can hear us on Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, I think. Podbean is our main hub. You can check us out there. Want to send us a message? That's fans@fansonpatrol.com. That's our email. You want to talk to us vicariously, you know, in the open, Twitter. What's it? We're at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fans on Patrol. So get with us. Saying all that, man, we're going to take another little break there, and we'll be right back. So we are back, man, with Zombieland Double Tap. So, movies, what, 2019 rated R, 1 hour, 39 minutes, pretty short. Action, comedy, horror. Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Brayson, Zoe Deutsch, Alvin Jugga, the fine, beautiful Rosario Dawson, Luke Wilson, Thomas Middleditch, and then a bunch of people who we don't care about, so I won't mention them. Anyway, man, so it's been like 12 years since the last one, man. And so, you know, do they still have the audience? Do they still have the grit and the grime to take them to the next level, man? So what we're going to do is, I got to do one of my favorite sections. One word, man. Zombieland Double Tap. Okay. We're going to hit our spoilers, and we're going to get into it, man. So, if you love Zombieland, man, you know, I think this movie will give you enough after 12 years that, you know, that will make you happy. There's nothing wrong with this movie. You know, you come in and the crew is still together. And a lot of the stuff that you saw that was in the trailers, they come in and they're shooting zombies left and right in front of the White House. And they're looking for a home. They get inside. You know, it's pretty graphic. It's cool. They get inside and, you know, they have the White House. And our stars, Wichita and Columbus, they're together. They're still a couple. Tallahassee, played by Woody Harrelson, has become a surrogate father to Little Rock. Overbearing, ridiculous, father figure that's stifling her. She decides that, you know, he's getting on her nerves. She wants to get out. Everybody, you know, her sister is coupled up. Woody doesn't want to be a couple. He doesn't want to be with anybody no more, Tallahassee. He wants to be some lone wolf. And so the sister leaves, you know. And this is where it starts. This is the problem. So when she leaves, she convinces the sister to leave with her because Columbus, he asks her to, you know, to marry her, Wichita. She gets cold feet. They take off. So then it's just the homies. It's some of my favorite sequences here in this movie is the banter and the relationship between Columbus and Tallahassee. Very reminiscent of the first movie, if you remember. You know, they were together for a while before the other two came in. And so I really like that Columbus is going through the "I broke up with my girlfriend" thing a month's time go by. And it's pretty cool, especially in Zombieland. I mean, you never get bored with this thing, but they don't really give you anything new, you know? I mean, it's mildly entertaining. So they go after Little Rock. They go after her, and she stole, like, the sweet presidential car. I mean, they do a little things here that's pretty cool. And then introduce the new love interest, man, Madison, Zoe Deutsch. Now, she was, to me, one of the best things about the new movie because she played airhead blonde, you know, better than I've seen in the movie in a long time. Yeah, I mean, and she added enough to the movie that gave you enough to pay attention to because, one, she was very pretty, very beautiful, but she was so dumb and so kind. And she was really funny, in my opinion. And she might have got on some people's nerves, but I really liked her. And Columbus gets with her. And all of a sudden, Wichita is back because she lost her sister, too, because her sister ditched her because she met Berkeley. You know, you see in the trailers, the guy got weed. He's just like a roaming monk. And she ditches her, too. So, you know, she goes back. And there's the love triangle thing. I love the love triangle thing. But I have to tell you, when they were in that van, the minivan, and they find the SUV and they fight that off, one of the coolest scenes in the movie, and that was cool. And you know, she gets bit, but she doesn't get bit, and she was eating those nuts. It was very obvious. I was like, she's having a allergic reaction to those nuts. She's not turning into a zombie. And I knew that dude didn't shoot her, you know. So Columbus goes out like he's gonna take out Old Yeller to end the zombie girlfriend, and it never happens. So yeah, he shoots and comes back, and everybody's like, "Wow, that was deep." So she's going to Babylon because of Berkeley, and it's supposed to be a place where no guns are allowed, everything is peaceful, and everybody is, you know, everybody loves everybody. However, you know, that's a problem in Zombieland because one of the coolest unrealized ideas in this whole movie is the level of zombies. And I think this is such a mistake in this movie that they didn't really capitalize on. They started the movie saying, hey, we got Homer Simpson zombies who's just dumb. You know, they're no threat at all. Then we have Stephen Hawking, and they were very, very smart. And they showed a very, you know, cool sequence. It's one of the coolest sequences in the movie. You know, the zombie figures out, the zombie still has his brain. And then they had ninjas. When this is, you only see a ninja one time. The ninja comes in and there's no escape. The ninja's gonna get you if a ninja's around. And then they discover with the RV that there's new, almost indestructible zombies that they call T-800s, you know, from Terminator. And that was so cool. But they really didn't play it up. Only thing they played up was the T-800s. And it was so hard to kill the one, but then later on in the movie, they're kind of killing them kind of like it wasn't that damn hard. And it's like, you guys kind of screwed up with this one, because Where's the Ninjas? I think if you would have made it more so about, you know, trying to survive these zombies but still make it funny, you know, that would have been cool. I mean, it was more about the relationships, you know. So they're looking for the girl, then they find, they go to Elvis Land, Graceland, it's all messed up. That's when the Rosario Dawson character comes in, and you listen, she can just walk on a damn screen, and I'm happy. I'm just, god damn, she fine. Damn! That's all I can say. She's so damn fine. And I can't take my eyes off her in the scene. So then you saw the Luke Wilson characters, Albuquerque and Flagstaff come in. It was exactly like the trailer, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it was still kind of cool. They expanded on it more. Then they turned into zombies, and, you know, they got to kill them. And they were pretty hard to kill. But not as hard to kill as the first zombie you saw that they labeled the T-800. So all these T-800s was, like, going toward Babylon, you know. And so they're going, and they find the little girl who's, you know, pretty much a woman now. But so they find her, and it's all these hippies. I thought they would have played up on disrespecting the hippies more, but I guess, you know, they let them in. They had to melt down all the guns, which was stupid. I was just like, why wouldn't you just put the guns in the woods and then come back and get them later? But they did. But, I mean, it was like, oh, why'd y'all do that? You know. Anyway, so Tallahassee sees that the girl is happy. He leaves. And the our heroes are at Babylon. They think it can be a home. But then all these T-800s is coming. I mean, realistically, as indestructible as they're supposed to be, it's kind of easy to kill them. So they're in the monster truck, and, you know, Rosario Dawson, who plays, what is her name? Nevada. She comes to the rescue, their monster truck, and that was kind of like inventive. You know, I like the Zombie of the Year award, and I wish they would have finished that with who actually got the Zombie of the Year award, but they didn't. And so, you know, they're monster trucking him. He gives this obvious, in the beginning of the film, you know, the buffalo soldiers, buffalo hunters, like running the buffaloes off the cliff. And it was like, well, that's how they're going to survive. You knew that immediately. I was like, god damn, why would y'all, you know, it was so obvious. It was, you know, they could have did that better. So anyway, that's what happens. He runs up the stairs. They follow him. They go out. And I didn't think he was going to make it. I'm kind of glad he did. And, that was pretty much it, man. They defeated the zombies. They got a, and they headed, they get back in the pink Cadillac, and then they go, and they realize that home is where the heart is, and boom, 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 boom. And I liked the comments about Bill Murray. That was cool. And Bill Murray killing everybody. I mean, being at ground zero at the zombie apocalypse was kind of cool. If you walked out immediately, you missed that, because he just killed about what, maybe 15 zombies right at the center. And so that was cool. The movie was okay. You know, I won't like wave my hat or yeehaw, none of that shit, but I don't say yeehaw anyway. I would say anything Rosario Dawson wanted me to say. But I mean, it was just okay. It's like being kind of back home with familiar characters that you like. The characters were kind of, you know, similar, except the little girl was creepily older. Emma Stone looks like she, you know, got a lot older. And so did Woody. And that damn, what's his name? Jesse Eisenberg don't seem to age at all. Goodness gracious. Anyway, so that was it. So I don't have anything else, man. I came to do the damn thing, and I got it done, man. So, you know, double tap, the news, it's over. So I'm the host of Fans of the Show. With me is nobody. And next week, we finish up with our Spooky Ookie Bookie. We got to pick a movie. It's supposed to be Tifflebot's choice. She might have forfeited it since she left me hanging. I might pick out something cool. We'll see. Because The Candyman was not my jam. I hated that damn movie. Anyway. But I did like Pumpkinhead. So we'll see. So until next week, man, I will be on patrol.